Well, shall we turn in our Bibles now to page 687, continuing our text from the first worship, Mark chapter 16. Now we'll look at verses 9 through 20. Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. And we'll read together. Let us begin. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. And may God bless his words to our hearts as we consider them today. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, ever heard a conversation like this? Husband speaking, "It's time to go." And the wife says, "But I'm not ready. Where are we going? Why didn't you tell me we were going?" The husband says, "I did tell you. I wrote it also on a note and put it on the fridge, but you didn't pay attention. Now we can't go to the party anymore and enjoy the friends and the company of our friends there. Somebody didn't pay attention, and as a result they lost the enjoyment of spending time with their family and friends." In a way, this wife was like the disciples of Jesus Christ. Christ told his disciples about the resurrection, but because of their spiritual deafness and their spiritual doubt, they paid no attention to what the Lord said, and they made no plans, like the women, for his resurrection. In this second sermon, we will examine how the men erred in this way, and how God graciously corrected them and commanded them to announce the resurrection to others. You notice the similarity. It was virtually the same thing. The women doubted the resurrection, but God, through the angels, graciously corrected them and then commanded them to announce the resurrection to others. And that's the same thing God did with the men. Our headings are four. First, the men's doubt of the resurrection. Second, the men's rebuke for their doubt. Third, the men's mission to spread the word of the resurrection. And then fourth, the men's dependence upon Christ for help. Our goals are that you will believe and rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, knowing that you were in him when he was raised from the dead, and that you will work to spread the message of his resurrection so the world can be saved. First point, the doubt of the resurrection. Now, of course, you need to follow up in the first sermon if you weren't here for that, to see some of the flow of the passage, verses 1 through 8. But now verse 9 says, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome, and there's one writer who used Joanna's name there as well, first went to the tomb and were instructed by the angel to carry the news of Christ's resurrection to the disciples so they could be encouraged and wait for Christ's arrival. Mark states the fact that Jesus directly appeared to Mary Magdalene first, the woman from whom he had cast out 7 demons, according to Luke 8:2. Evidently, Mary Magdalene stayed back. Remember this morning we said they were told, go and spread the message. But Mary stayed back for a while for some reason the Bible doesn't say. And after she stayed back, Jesus first appeared to her dressed as a gardener. Dressed as a gardener. And another privilege for the women. The woman was the first to see Jesus raised from the dead. A reward for their faith. It was a weak faith. But they had faith. They loved the Lord. John chapter 20 verse 14 together. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Now Jesus didn't have any funny forms. Jesus simply appeared dressed as a gardener. And you put on the gardener's clothes. It's very difficult to recognize somebody dressed up or covered over in gardener's clothes. Jesus did not appear to Mary's mother, to his mother Mary, as the Roman Catholics claim. There's no proof of that in the Bible. The Bible says he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. The reason the Roman Catholics argue that is because their traditions are higher than the Bible. That's the difference. The Bible says he appeared to Mary Magdalene, not to Mary his mother. Now there would have been nothing wrong if he did. But we have to deal with what the Bible teaches. Verse 10 says, she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. So Mary Magdalene also went after the first group of women went. She went again. Now when the women spoke to the disciples, they were still in tears and still mourning. There is a good moral principle here. Notice what deliberate or what ignorance, deliberate ignorance can do. Ignorance can make you suffer. And a mistake of such great proportion increased the suffering. Greater ignorance, greater suffering. The disciples suffered because they did not believe or they did not know Jesus' words about his resurrection. But remember what Jesus said. Now we read one passage, I'm reading another one now. Matthew chapter 26 verse 2. Together, you know that after 2 days is the Passover and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Now Jesus had already spoken. He says, soon I will be crucified, they'll deliver me over and I'll be crucified. A few days before this. Now he says, in 2 days, prepare, I'm going to suffer that way. Luke 18 verse 31, together. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished, for he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. So that's the third passage now that describes the suffering of Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. Verse 11, and when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, that's Mary Magdalene, they did not believe. So sadly, these men still doubted the testimony of 3 witnesses, probably 4. They doubted the words of Jesus himself. Jesus said he would be raised. They didn't believe it. And he said so many times, and they still didn't believe it. The women said, the angels told us he was raised from the dead. They didn't believe the angels either. Then the men, the women, these were honored women. These weren't just ordinary women. They should have known these women were truthful. But they rejected them. And I wonder if they simply rejected the women's testimony because they were women. In many countries, women are treated very poorly. Many Muslim countries, the testimony of a woman is worth half of a man's testimony. Even today, in some Muslim courts, you'd have to have 2 women, sometimes 3, to be equal to 1 man's testimony. Whatever the case, they did not believe, which was sad. After that, verse 12, he appeared, that's Jesus, appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went to the country, and they went and told it to the rest, and they did not believe them either. Now, because of their doubts, Jesus did not even appear to his disciples second. You know, that's quite interesting, quite telling. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, then he appeared to the two people who were walking on the road. And that's the famous story. We have one of the Chinese books there, Strangers on the Road, and speaking of those who are on the road to Emmaus, the two people that Jesus appeared to. Now, when it says he appeared in a different form, it doesn't mean Jesus had some kind of strange body. It just means his appearance was different. First, he appeared to Mary Magdalene as a gardener, and you can read that in one of the other Gospels. And now he appeared differently. It appears that Jesus dropped the gardener's clothes and took on the clothes of a rabbi, of a teacher. And these two men took him to be a teacher and allowed him to pray for the meal when they were going to eat. So he obviously had a change of clothes. Jesus did not want to honor the doubt and ignorance of his disciples, who should have known better. Sadly, the disciples did not believe the testimony of Jesus' resurrection from these two men either. Christ had conquered death, but the disciples were denying the benefits. Sad for them. Even after they went to the tomb, they saw the missing body and looked at the grave clothes. The Bible says they still did not believe. How do we know that? Well, look at Luke chapter 24, verse 10. Together, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe. They just, all of it seemed, that's just fanciful tales. It's like a child describing some extravagant thing, and he said, that's just a child making up things. They did not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. After all of these testimonies, many women, Jesus himself. There's also a passage that I don't have in my notes, but you'll read when they even went into the tomb and they doubted that Jesus was raised. Look at the rebuke, though, for their doubt. Point number two. Later, the Bible says he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Christ, in mercy to those miserable doubters, then proved he was alive by miraculously appearing in their presence, even with a locked door. Now, they're called the 11 because Judas was now dead, though Thomas was not with them. But what a kindness he shows to doubters. He wished them peace. Look at John chapter 20, verse 19, the account there of this incident. Together, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." He wished them peace. Look at the loving Savior. I can't imagine saying peace to people who doubted so many times. Such an incredible thing. I would want to yell, tell them how dumb they were. But not our Lord. He stopped and said, "Peace to you." As a good father, though, he did not totally let them off the hook. He promptly rebuked their unbelief and stubbornness. They had saving grace, but they needed to be corrected. They had not believed that he was raised from the dead and stubbornly rejected the evidence presented by the women and the angels. This doubt shows how hopeless man is without the Holy Spirit working in their hearts. Even with evidence, they still did not believe. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters. We talked about telling others about the resurrection. That is your job. Living the resurrection. Showing by your life that you believe in the resurrection. But here's the thing. Your job is to speak of the resurrection clearly and forcefully by your lips and your lives. But wait for God's Holy Spirit to work. If you don't, you'll be frustrated. That's why you might have told somebody about the message of Jesus Christ over and over again, and you just say, why aren't you believing it? It's obvious. And then maybe you tell somebody one or two times and they believe. And then one you will tell 100 times and they still don't believe. It's the working of the Holy Spirit. Evidence is fine. You present the evidence. But it's up to God to work through that evidence. And your job is to present it over and over and over again. I thought about the Muslims this last few days as we were preparing for Tuesday night. And so many of these meetings we've had. And every time we get the message of Jesus Christ to them. And sometimes you say, why aren't they believing? Well, the Holy Spirit blows wherever He wills. He can change the most stubborn person and make them into a child of God. But your job is to present the evidence. They will deal with their God at the end of the world. Whenever God is ready, He will make the words you speak effective to change the unbeliever's heart. If He's going to change the unbeliever's heart, fine. If He's not going to change their heart, He will use the words you speak to condemn them. So either way, you are doing the work of God. When you live the testimony of the resurrection, and when you speak the words of the resurrection to them, it will either save them or will condemn them. Because God will say to them in the end, didn't I provide someone to speak to you about the resurrection? You did not believe. Therefore, you are condemned. Now, why was this so important? And why was this rebuke so severe? Because as we have already covered today, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, there is no salvation. And the testimony of the whole Bible is but a series of lies. If Jesus were not raised from the dead, you need to throw away your Bible and go about your business. You didn't need to waste any time coming to church here on Sunday. But if Christ is raised from the dead, as 1 Corinthians speaks, everything has importance now. Everything is proven in the Bible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13, together again. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Strong words. With no resurrection, you could simply be a selfish, atheistic evolutionist instead of living to serve others. If Christ were not raised from the dead, you should be fishing today or doing whatever they allow you to do. You should be digging up your yard and cleaning out your gutters. There are many things you could be doing. But because Christ is raised from the dead, because you have everlasting life through His resurrection from the dead, you can gather here with the saints to worship God as a precursor to worshiping God in heaven forever. Now, third point, the mission to spread the news of the resurrection. They had their doubts. They had their rebuke for the doubts. And now the mission to spread the news of the resurrection. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now this, of course, occurred later. It's not immediately in the upper room or in the room where they were meeting that these verses connect. But the point is written so well, I think, here in Mark, that it naturally follows from that. Based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, while it is obvious that the women had more faith than the men had at this time, yet it pleased the Lord to commission the men to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. It wasn't because the men were smarter or because the men had more faith than the women that they were being used by God, but because it fit God's purpose for an orderly structure in society. This is why men are called to be preachers and leaders in the church. The biggest mistake sometimes the reformed circles can make is that we think that somehow women are less educated or they're weaker and somehow less able to preach. It has nothing to do with the ability with a woman to understand the gospel and explain it in a clear and forceful way. It simply is because of the plan of God for the orderly structure of society that women are not called to be preachers. You get that? You get a very good point to take home today when you leave. And note the area of the preaching. They are to go in all the world. Now there are many foolish hyper-Calvinists who say that the Lord will save the world without your help and you don't have to go anywhere. They're sadly mistaken. This was the same thing that tried to... There were some people, these were Reformed Baptists in England, who tried to stop William Carey from going to India to preach the gospel to the people there. In fact, when he tried to speak, they basically looked at him. One man said, "Shut up and sit down. If God wants to save the heathens, He will save them without you." No. The Bible says, how will they know unless someone goes to them and preaches to them? And that's what Jesus did. Go into all the world. The command to go was not a suggestion to stay, as some take it. Jesus trained His men for 3.5 years for this. This was the reason for which He came, to seek and to save that which was lost. And this the disciples did in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, together. "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great peace was grace was upon them all." There are, in dealing with the preaching of the gospel everywhere, you notice too, just to add a little extra here, when Jesus was training His disciples, first He sent out some. He sent out the 12. Then He brought them back and He asked them questions. Next time He sent out 72. And then He called them back and He asked them questions again. The next time He sent out 500 and called them back to discuss. He was really training people to go. So when some people say, no, let's wait. People, we believe in a sovereign God, and if God is going to save people, we don't need to go, they will come. That's wicked. That's denying the very foundation of the work that Christ came to do. He trained people to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And with Christ having conquered death, no man need fear death anymore if they died in Christ. And they need to give witness to that to the world. You don't, if you die in the process, we're talking about the persecuted church and Christians who die every day because they believe the Bible. Some are put in prison, some are tortured, some are fired from their jobs. But you know, because the resurrection is real, because you will live forever, you're not afraid of what you might lose. You shouldn't be of what you lose in this life. You might lose your life, but you're not afraid. You're going to get a better life. You lose your body, you'll get a better body. One unlike anything you have in this world. Verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." The instruction to men was clear. Those who firmly believe in Christ's life, death, and resurrection as the means by which they are redeemed must be baptized as a public witness to their faith. And on the contrary, Jesus taught that those who do not firmly believe in their hearts in Christ's life, death, and resurrection for their redemption would be condemned to hell forever. There is no neutral territory. There is either life or death. There is no in limbo state, no purgatory. These are figments of the imaginations of Roman Catholics, not of the Bible. Those are hellish lies. After death, there's heaven or there's hell. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, together. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. It's only the sacrifice of Christ that takes away the sins of the world." That's what they were called to announce. Verse 17 and 18. And all these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, and so on. Number 4. In addition, Christ will give his disciples power to do signs to confirm the preached word. They will be given extraordinary ability to speak in different languages, tongues, to hold a poisonous snake and not be killed. And if they were forced to drink poisonous things by their enemies, it would not hurt them. In addition, they would be able to raise the sick from their deathbeds. Now, after the gospel was confirmed and established, these signs ceased. Just like signs ceased after confirming the words of Moses and Elijah. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, together. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So the word of God was confirmed by the miracles. You see the key here. That's what the scripture teaches about it. Those who say miracles are a standard part of Christian living deny what the scriptures say. Miracles were given at particular times to confirm the authority and truthfulness of God's word. They were not intended as a way out of going to the doctor. God provided doctors. God provided medicines. Those who try to bypass these things by saying, come, let's lay hands on people, are foolish. And by the way, I've mentioned before, those people in North Carolina, and there are a few other places as well, who go around playing with poisonous snakes because the Bible says you will take up snakes and they won't bite you. They're not understanding what the Word of God says there. That's why many of them have been killed. Probably a dozen of them have already been killed, if I remember correctly from the last report. They go to church and instead of worshiping God, they're playing with poisonous snakes. Say, the Bible says I can play with them and they won't bite me. That's not what the Bible is saying. That was for a time to confirm the authority of God's word. When God's word was confirmed, there was no need for those miracles anymore. That's why I can't speak Russian and I'll have translators next to me from Sunday. I don't have the miraculous ability to speak Russian. Might be nice. I'd like to be able to speak some words in Mandarin as well. But in the meanwhile, we're going to use Jason and Max to tell us what those words mean. But God is going to put these miracles, and he's sending these men up. Go into all the world. Preach the resurrection. Let people know Jesus is no longer dead. He's raised from the dead. And if you believe that he died on the cross, he was buried, he was raised for you, you will live forever. And look, to show God's word is true, or God's words are true, these miracles and signs will follow. Final point. The dependence upon Christ for help. So they're told, go into all the world, preach the gospel, confirm, I will confirm them by signs and miracles. But it didn't stop there. Look, going on further, verse 19 and 20. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Christ's ascension into heaven was not simply a nice conclusion to a story, as when you finish reading a fairy tale to your children and you say, and they lived happily ever after. Children read that and they think, ah, nice. The prince gets the princess, they're married and they live happily ever after. The big bad wolf was killed and Cinderella, whoever it was, lived happily ever. Little Red Riding Hood, that's the one. Lived happily ever after. It wasn't that. It wasn't just Jesus going up into heaven, sitting down, saying, whew, that was done. Now I'll get back to my work. Rather, it was a promise that the Lord will be watching over his people from heaven as they went into the world to preach the message of hope. They had the benefits of the resurrection. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 say that we've read before. Together, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord is ruling over you from heaven as you live that life and spread the message of the resurrection. It gives you courage to live. It gives you courage to speak of that resurrection because He is there. He watches over you from heaven. And this is why verse 20 makes it clear that the Lord continued to work with them. And they needed His help. They needed courage to speak in the face of opposition. They needed power to confirm the words they spoke. And Christ did not fail them. Within 40 years, the Bible said they had turned the world upside down. This is what the psalmist said that Christ would do upon His ascension. He would, and we sang that in the first worship, He would take captivity captive. The wicked ones will be conquered and brought into His family, brought into His kingdom. Isaiah 2 verse 3 has this rich promise of that taking place. Together, many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And that's why Jesus said, go everywhere. Go into all the world. Go into North America. Go into Africa. Go to Japan. Preach the gospel of Christ, that they will come, learning of the resurrection, and be joined to the family of God. And I will be with you wherever you go. That was the word of Jesus. Look, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Even to the end of the age, Christ is with us. His body is in heaven, but He's not absent from us for one moment. What assurance. What blessing. He's not in the grave anymore. He was raised. He guarantees you eternal life. He guarantees you help in the world in which you live. That you can face the trials and troubles without fear. Such is the blessing of God. Let's conclude. The disciples, because of their sin, their stubbornness and ignorance, doubted that Christ was raised from the dead. They doubted the testimony of many witnesses, so they were severely rebuked by Christ for their doubting His resurrection. But because they received the rebuke, Christ strengthened their faith and gave them the commission to spread the news of the resurrection to the ends of the earth and strengthen them from heaven for the task. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, Jesus, by His resurrection, the Bible says, abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Because He lives forever, you can live forever. Because He died for your sins, you don't ever have to die for your sins. You hear that? You don't ever have to die for your sins. Rejoice. And the day will come when He will leave the right hand of His Father where He is today and will come to take you to be with Him forever. Oh, happy day. So face your trials in this life with confidence. Your babies won't be sick in heaven. I bet the mothers love to hear that. They won't be sick ever. Your husband won't be insensitive and lazy and forget to do all the things you told him to do. There'll be none of those frustrations. There won't be any bad bosses there. Nobody will try to take the credit for what you do or run you like a slave driver. What a thing to look forward to. All of that from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But also remember not to let the world die in death and loneliness. It's not just about you. Tell the world of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that they may believe and find hope in Jesus Christ as well. That they too will enjoy the blessings of heaven. Instead of on the contrary,
The Bible describes hell as a place where there is eternal fire and where your conscience, worse than the fires around you, will torment you forever. The Bible says in hell, their worm does not die. That's the worm of the conscience. It's there crawling all the time, reminding you, if only I had listened. If only I had recognized and believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If only I had listened to that preacher, inarticulate as he was. If only I had listened, my conscience would not be tortured today and tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. That's what hell is like. The Lord has provided a way out. Now you have a hope as you live in the world. Yes, friends, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. That hope of heaven will come when you have that right relationship with God. But your sin is what separates you from God. And that's what Christ came to do. To take away sins, to clean your record, to adopt you as His child, to give you a new destination. That when you die, you will not be worried about the fires of hell or the torturing of your conscience. But you will have a new destination. And it's all free. Christ, believe in His resurrection. Let's pray.